Welcome, everybody, back to Rescuing Churches, the official podcast of 614 Ministries. I'm Stan Givens, the director, and I'm here with my son, Josh, who is actually going to give a lot of feedback on this one because this is part of one of his blogs that I read, as he's an adventurous person in church communications, and he cares a lot about churches being successful. And he wrote a good article called Five First-Time Guest Habits That Churches Need to Ditch. So these are habits. He's actually just been watching his dad do the wrong thing. And he took good notes on how not to be.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
That's what a good pastor's kid does.
That's right. Take notes and go, never do that.
Yeah, when
never
you're a pastor's kid, yeah, that's, never that's do what that. You do. You
oh, don't do that
take
either.
Take notes on your dad all every time that. He screws up.
Exactly.
Hello, and welcome to Rescuing Churches with Stan and Josh Givens. This is the official podcast of 614 Ministries, where we exist to renew vision and restore hope at struggling churches across the country. With over 80% of churches in decline and 1,500 pastors a month battling depression, we strive to equip members and encourage ministers to pursue new directions of stability and growth.
Josh, you spent a long time in customer service and customer service industry with two major clothing companies. Try not to have any flashbacks that would create any kind of medical issue here
I
at the table.
I will try, yes.
but you had to attend a bunch of mandatory meetings in retail sales and how to manage the floor well and really how to have good customer service.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of what it was all about.
Yep.
Being part of that, you can apply some of that to the principles of a church doing a good job of welcoming somebody into the church family itself and helping their first experience be a good experience. And that's something you've written about here. And a lot of times you write here that even a seasoned employee like yourself, after years, you did have to attend these meetings anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Because the company knew you could let go of those core values.
Exactly.
And so, probably churches need to be reminding their core leaders and definitely their core hosting groups of these basics pretty regularly. And we need to be very careful how we welcome first-time visitors. And I think the curve has changed on that over the years. Mm-hmm. They have so many choices now and they have so many places they could be other than church. So it's a little bit more sensitive than it used to be when I was initially a pastor. And I've learned from a lot of mistakes. So you've had to learn a lot. And, I mean, you even list a couple of businesses here, Chick-fil-A and Starbucks, that set that example. Talk about that for a second before we look at this first idea you have here.
Yeah, just kind of coming out of the customer service thing that you were referencing there, a lot of people are looking for convenience. Convenience is a very high value that people have. You go out to any fast food joint.
I'll give you a great example.
Especially right now during COVID.
I'll give you a great example. I went to Walmart yesterday morning.
Yep.
Parked on the wrong end of the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
That was a really bad idea.
Terrible idea.
When I got up to the store, the lady said, "I'm sorry, sir. These doors are closed. You're going to have to go to the food end." Well, I had parked in the garden end.
Of course you did.
And so I start walking towards the food end thinking, well, I'm just running in to get all I want is one little thing.
Yep.
One little thing. And they have it and I can go get it. When I get to the food end, they've got a set of barricades set up that you can't actually turn and go in the door. You got to go get in a line. It's only 109 degrees on the sidewalk where we are.
Right.
You know, there's no air moving. And I'm going to stand in a line of people that are being questioned and then put through some sort of interrogation to get in.
Of course.
And of course they have to wear their mask because that's a guideline our city has put in. So I literally got to the railing where I saw how far the rail went and how long the line was.
Yep.
I was like, you know what? I'll order this online from somewhere else. It definitely won't
There's
be Walmart.
No way I'm going in
that's
today.
Very you made it very, what was really ironic is the loudspeaker in the parking lot continues to repeat this message. Thank you for your patience. We're all in this together.
We're all in this together.
And Walmart is doing all we can to make your shopping time pleasant and convenient.
I'm right.
So closing the door that's a mile down the road where I parked made it convenient.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm with you. We want convenience.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
People just place a super high value on convenience. I mean, exactly. as that illustration so well points out, I mean, and like I said, you don't have to look any further than Chick-fil-A and Starbucks, especially in the middle of COVID with those two businesses. I mean, you can just look at them any other time of the year, but especially in the middle of COVID.
Boy, Chick-fil-A has really stepped up.
Yeah, to kind of understand how, I mean, they're doing the three lanes wide open thing and, you know, and
I'm convinced one day they're just going to throw the, as you drive by, they're going to throw
they're just
the
gonna
food
hurl
in your
the
car.
Food out. Yeah,
you actually
window,
can
yeah.
keep, as long as you just, maintain 10 miles an hour through our parking lot, you're fine. Yeah,
as long as you can catch it going 10 miles an hour.
right. And they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But they've made themselves convenient.
They have.
And it really draws the people in. So that's a good sign.
And
for
I
us.
Think there's a difference between the convenience thing that people are looking for and the community atmosphere that people are looking for. And in that analogy, Starbucks mm-hmm. would lean mm-hmm. more towards the community because that's why people go there. And during COVID, they've been hurt a little bit more in that because people aren't allowed to go inside and sit down anymore.
Right.
You can go in and order your beverage.
Yeah, but you have to go.
But then you have to turn right around and leave. And if you're going to sit down and drink it, you've got to sit down at a table outside where in Mobile, like you said, it's 109 degrees.
Yeah,
so there is no community atmosphere right now at Starbucks.
Right.
And if you're a fan of that and you like being able to go up there and sit down for hours and work, you're missing that right now.
Correct. So you list at the top of your list here is refusing to enhance complex parking lots or repair dilapidated ones. I guess the complex ones would be your large church.
Yes.
Where your parking lot, you have no idea where to park and where to go in. And
yes.
It's just not that obvious.
Yep.
And then in the smaller churches you have, like ours,
right.
We have a pretty dilapidated parking lot ourselves. That
Seekers and first-time guests are looking for convenience. And if they're going to be a part of your community coming out of that example, then that's one of the things that they're going to notice.
Yeah. And so the idea is that we need to try to keep our facilities up. And, you know, as a church, we've been struggling with that. The finances of that get complicated. We've actually just done some outside repairs that we still need to get painted. And I've got guys volunteering to do that. We just got to get the equipment here to do it. So, but it is important that your church look as nice as you can make it.
Exactly.
On the outside, the window dressing, as it were, has to look good. So when you're inviting people in.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very, very important for a small church. And if you're at a large church, you may have the funds and the resources to go ahead and fix your parking lot up to be really nice, which is great if you have the resources to be able to do that. But you should also really make sure that, your parking lot is clearly laid out. And if that the signage is there, directing people where to go, where to park and where to enter the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can't even figure out what side of the building to enter or where to go or where to drop my kids off and then get to the sanctuary, then there's a problem.
Yeah. You get stressed early.
Yeah. Before you even
first time guest, you're already stressed.
Yeah, before you even get to the service, you're already stressed out. That doesn't need to happen. And at a really large church, a lot of times you're going to have, and this is great if you can do this, have a little volunteer team out there as your parking lot volunteer team, directing people where to go.
Yeah. And we're a small church, but even when it's raining, we try to provide somebody to drive your car out from under the cover and park it for you so you don't get drowned.
We'll
just
bring
little things like that
in
help.
Under an umbrella. So. And if you're at a small church, in terms of parking lot conditions, what you really can do when God does provide the resources for you, you know, check your lines and spaces, the condition of your asphalt, and, you know, be on the lookout for things like potholes and stuff like that, because
now you're just getting personal.
Yes. Hey, well, I'm just saying it to all the churches out there.
No,
I'm saying it to all of the churches out there, because it really is true. You know, a lot of first-time seekers and guests will probably be able to, and I'm just going to say this because I put it in the post, they can probably forgive confusion. They can forgive that. If I can't figure out where to park or how to get there or how to get in, or, you know, like at our church, we've got two parking lots on
either side.
If somebody pulls up and they're like, hey, which one do I go to and what side do I
main
enter?
Main entrance
and
all is not really the thing to go,
And they don't see anybody going through those big main entrance doors, you know, and all that, and people walking into the side. It might get a little confusing. and we don't have signs up or anything. Right. And we don't have a parking team. So, but if I'm a first time guest, I can confuse, I can forgive a little confusion. But if I park somewhere and get out and twist my ankle in a pothole, or if my grandmother does, especially, or my wife, or something like that, I'm probably not coming back to your church.
Exactly. We're done. We're done here.
I'm not coming back and giving it a second chance.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, not a good idea.
Yeah.
So, number two, you put in here that we need to stop making the greeting time super awkward.
Please.
Something that I've learned. That we need to, we've actually made some alterations there. So not making it awkward. What are you talking about there?
Yeah, this is just, I mean, you know, and you know this because, like you said, we've made changes at our church. You know, this is something that's really true for introverts, like people like me, but it's really just true for a lot of first time guests, in general. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter how enthusiastic or talkative the people in your church are, a greeting time really isn't the best way to make them feel welcome. And especially, it's especially true because the whole greet those around you time tends to become a little cell group time where people just kind of huddle up and friends talk with friends, and people that already know each other talk with the people they already know.
Yeah.
And visitors tend to get left out, and it's like, oh, we're making lunch plans.
And even
now,
when the visitor, what the studies have proven is even when the visitor gets greeted, yep. he knows it was a forced greeting.
Forced greeting.
The pastor was watching somebody, made eye contact with that
exactly.
person. Go see the visitor.
Yep.
And so then it's a forced thing, and you really didn't feel intentionally
yes.
welcome anyway.
Yes.
So we've done away with that greeting time.
It feels very,
very,
very
funny
staged.
When I did away with that. I had one person who's the most outgoing person in our church bothered by it. Everybody was like, thank you, Lord. We don't have to just, you know, Megan is going to shake hands with
exactly,
people.
Exactly.
So we can do that before and after church naturally.
Yep, yep.
But the unnatural have to is a little bit of a challenge there. So
yeah, it's just awkward.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, even in a small church, it's awkward, but no matter what the size of the church, I honestly believe you can do a much better job by having a greeter or set of greeters posted at the door or doors that people
Hosts
are entering.
Hostesses. Keep an eye on that kind of thing.
Yeah, that keep an eye on that. Appoint those 1, 2, 3, 10, 12 people, you know, whatever the size of your church, to say, hey, if somebody new comes in, it's your job to go smile, shake hands with them. Make a connection. Get a name. And let that be the end of it. So that when they came in the door, they felt welcome, and let that be the end of it.
Right.
They don't want to be over interrogated. They don't want to be over, you know,
right.
hassled by it
right.
or, and they definitely don't want a whole section of your service dedicated to just them.
Right.
Because then
and
the spotlight's
I grew up in that church.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, it was very common when I was in high school, and even college, it was very common at any church, large or small, that I attended.
Yep.
The pastor would literally look around the room during church. This is at Shades Mountain in Birmingham when there was, you know, 1,000 people in the room.
Oh, yeah.
He would look around and see somebody he didn't recognize, call him, have him stand up and tell him who are you here with? Who's your family?
Yep.
Where are you from?
Yep.
You know, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Now I'm in the spotlight.
That's right.
Thanks a whole lot.
Yeah. Back then it wasn't a big deal. Now it's a big deal. So
yeah,
I'm with you on that.
Don't go overboard with that.
Yeah. Number three that we need to avoid is neglecting the kids' facility. So
yeah, this is
pretty
just,
common sense again.
Yeah. This is just real quick.
The other name for this podcast is the common sense of
yes.
new guest. Common sense
very,
information for new guests.
Very common sense stuff here. I mean, really, no parent wants to leave a child in an unclean or unsafe area.
Scary, yeah.
Scary
people, scary stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a dead bug in the room. Let's get it up.
Yep.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to do that.
Out of the corner.
And especially right now, even with COVID, you're probably going to have some moms who are a little more freaked out by some
right.
things. So you want to make sure that your kids' area is not only safe, but clean. They need to get the impression that you're actually taking care of your kids' facility, the nursery area. You know, if you've got a, you know, separate wing and room for your kids of older age and that kind of thing. If your church doesn't place a high priority on the well-being of the kids, don't be surprised if that young family doesn't come back.
And let me say to that, I've learned that the young families that you have going to your church need to be the ones that help determine what the toys, what the room is built around and like.
Exactly.
As an, you have a lot of elderly people that love to sit with the kids and play with the kids or be with the kids, but their generation of toys is dangerous to the younger generation.
Exactly.
So, So when, yep. you know, when they go, so your cribs don't have any pads in them. You don't have a way to keep your kid and get his head stuck in that. And they're like, no, we just used to push him back through.
Yeah.
You know, that's never going to go good. So
not going to happen.
So having the young people in your church help determine the nursery design and the exactly. nursery equipment, and even buying the toys or picking up toys, you know, if you,
oh
if
yeah,
you,
yeah.
You can go, it's fine to go.
And
get,
if you,
we've done this, you get toys donated to you, but you got to run them by the,
check them, get them checked out.
Run
first.
Them by the younger families and go, hey, are these safe? Have these been proven as safe for kids?
Bet those toys out.
There you go.
And, and if you've got those young families that have been coming for a while and they're faithfully attending your church regularly, go get insight and perspective from them for sure.
Right. Right.
I mean, because if you have a young family that's a first time guest and showing up for the first time, and the impression that they get is that you don't even care about your own facility, you know, they're going to be like, why should we even trust you with our kid?
Yeah.
We're not even going to put our kid in
there. As a small church, that's a really hard thing. What you're saying is so true, but it's really hard because you're here every week and you just end up letting stuff
slide.
Yeah. And you just know that's just who we are, but the guest is not a who we are.
Yeah. It's an outside perspective, and you have to start thinking as an outsider.
Yeah, you have to look at it differently.
Yeah. And it's a, you know, this, it's exactly what you're saying. You're here every week. We're here every week inside the building. And so what we see becomes routine and mundane and old, and we don't think about it as often, but a guest that comes in for the first time sees that. And if their impression is they don't care about that part of the facility, or that's dangerous for my child, I'm going to keep my child in the sanctuary today, then it's going to be a very quick, I don't think I'm coming back, you know? Mm-hmm.
And then number four, this is your wheelhouse right here, ignoring the church website. If you let the church website get old, lapsed, outdated information.
Yeah.
That's a really bad sign for guests.
Yeah.
Guests start there now.
Yeah. This is something you don't want to let slide. And we've talked about this in a previous episode. So you guys can go back to that, and you can see my previous blog post on reassessing the design of your website. So I won't belabor this very long, but just make sure that you keep your site really updated, well designed. If they get on there and can't find your service times, your street address, or especially a calendar of events, you know, and can't find the stuff that you have going on at your church, they're probably going to write you off pretty quick. You know, especially if they can't even find where you are, because then it's just like, you know, wow, I'm having to pull up Google Maps now to type in the name of the church and all that.
The other podcast we did, you mentioned very wisely that your mobile view really needs to be user friendly now.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Somebody may look at your website, maybe while they're at their office, they're looking at your church website and go, hey, we're going to try that church on Sunday because we're church shopping.
Right.
Something went wrong at our church, or we moved into town or whatever, so we're church shopping. So they pull it up in their office computer and it's fine. But now when they're in the car with their wife and they're trying to get to your church, it's that Sunday morning moment where, you know, Satan's going to do everything he can to make everybody mad at each other.
Exactly.
You don't want them to go, I can't even make this work. Let's just go to Cracker Barrel and go home kind of thing. Yeah. We
exactly.
don't want any of that. So
exactly.
So here's your mobile view moment right there.
Yeah. If your mobile view isn't what it needs to be, people are just going to give
user
up on
friendly
it.
User-friendly. And you can reach out to us through our, we'll give you the links at the end, but you can reach out to us at the end of this and Josh can show you how to get your Google map on there if you don't have it on your page or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You can drop that
in. You need to have all the plugins.
All the maps and all that stuff happen. So people can just touch a thing and all of a sudden their phone will open up a map for
you. Yeah, quick access stuff is what people want. They want that real
convenient stuff.
Yeah, it goes back to the convenience.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one you mentioned here is failing to follow up. And you talk about if somebody fills out a card, we call them connect cards. Why don't you tell them what that is?
Yeah.
And keep that real simple, by the way. Don't make your connect card have 55.
Yes.
We don't need a DNA sample. And, you know, we don't need your mother's maiden name and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're not doing a cheek swab or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it, really, if I attend your church for the first time, I should, and this goes back to the greeting thing. Hopefully I wasn't awkwardly greeted. I should at least have been approached by somebody that made me feel welcome, hopefully. Hopefully I didn't go to a church, you know, full of jerks. And if you made me feel welcome, then, you know, you probably hopefully would have given me like a little connect card to fill out. And a connect card is just a little, you know, card that is going to ask for my name. It's going to ask for my contact information.
Simple though.
Like, very
just an
simple.
Email. I don't need your address. I just,
No address. Email. Yes. Yeah. No street address. Probably just email and maybe your phone number. Which is optional if they feel like leaving that. And that allows the pastor or the person who's in charge of doing the follow-ups. At small churches, it's probably going to be the pastor to do a follow-up email or a text or a phone call thanking me for coming to the service that day as a guest. Mm-hmm. So I should be getting an email or a text message or a phone call, whatever your church decides to do communications wise. That adds a very personal touch that can go a long way after I've gotten off the premises. So it's somewhere halfway through the week and you're saying we're really glad that you were with us at church yesterday or 2 days ago. We were so glad that you were here.
Yeah. And I want to tell our pastors that the follow-up is a soft touch.
Yes.
But don't expect a lot of feedback from that. When you leave them a voicemail or an email, I have sent, you know, two or three emails out, never got anything back. And then a month later, they show back up to church and go, hey, thanks for that email.
Right, right.
So just because there's not a loop happening doesn't mean they're not getting it and receiving it.
Yep.
And so it's just a chance to do your part and wait on God. The Bible says God adds to the church.
Exactly.
Not man. So we do the best we can.
And I'll recommend just real quick, whatever communication method you feel most comfortable with at your church, whatever you pick, whether it's text, email, or phone call, keep it real conversational, cordial, but professional.
Short.
Yes.
Really short.
Don't belabor it. So, mm-hmm. you know, again, if you're at a really tiny, small church, a personal text or call from the pastor can be huge for a first-time guest because that lets the guest know, wow, the pastor was thinking about me? Wow.
Yeah. You know, and we mentioned this in the episode with Carl Vader as well. A lot of people want a pastor that will touch with them, that will stay in touch with them. They want a shepherd, a personal
shepherd.
Spiritual shepherd. So it's okay for the pastor to make that effort.
Yep.
It's a good idea. So those are some great thoughts. And we would encourage you to look at Josh's blog post on that, jdgivens.com. And really good blogs there. There's a bunch of good information you can have to help your church. We thank you for listening to this episode of Rescuing Churches. We'd like to ask you, what are some successful things you've done to get first-time guests connected? If you're a pastor listening to this and you've had a couple of great, you have a couple of little snippet great ideas, call and leave us an answer. Our phone number is 601-909-0614. 614, how about that? 601-909-0614. And we listen to all our voicemails. As always, we really appreciate your thoughts and your feedback about the show. So reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram and Twitter at 614 Rebuild, or you can leave us a voicemail. And we appreciate all of those. Have a blessed week, and we'll hopefully talk to you next week.